Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Invez podcast. I am your host, Dan Ashmore, financial analyst here at Invez. And today we are going to talk metaverse. I'm joined today by Chris Jiang, who is CEO of ZDX. How are you doing today, Chris?
I'm doing great. What about you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you for asking, and thanks for coming on the show. Maybe just to kick things off, like metaverse, I always think is it just encompasses like so many things, and it's so vague and kind of hard to sum up. So whereabouts does your company ZTX fit into this picture?
We're actually a blockchain initiative jointly incubated by Zepeto, which is Asia's largest metaverse platform right now with the 330 million users, and also a Jump, leading global blockchain firm. So, like for Zepeto, they actually started as more like a avatar builder. So these users would create avatars and represent it in their social medias, and that's how they got really like popular among these a lot of different demographics, but especially targeted towards teenagers. So yeah, from the avatar builder, we started Zepeto started adding chat and also like these all the metaverse features. So like taking selfies and creating their own like wearables. And yeah, now it's pretty crazy. They have a lot like 1 to 2 million users right now. I mean, creators itself creating digital assets by themselves. And like 3 million daily transaction of virtual items. So we are actually like pretty much like bringing those like assets all together and building into a Web3 version.
Wow, that's those numbers are pretty big. So I guess your entire kind of thing focuses on like ease of access as well as providing all these things. Like, is it quite intuitive to use?
Oh yeah, super easy. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because I sometimes think like that's like one of the barriers here is that can be quite like it's interesting when you mention your the part of the demographic is teenagers. Like, would these be non-crypto native people, or like what kind of how into crypto are they?
So like for Web2 Zepeto, they're more definitely targeted to non-crypto native people. But I think, as you know, these demographics of a younger generation, they're not really exposed a lot to this crypto world yet. I think they're about to. So, I mean, it'd be great for us actually to be the gateway of, bringing these teenagers into this the crypto world, opening their wallet, like, how to use your wallet, buying like these digital assets and everything.
Yeah, because I always kind of feel for people and sometimes forget, like, given that I'm in crypto myself, like, forget that, like, the wallet experience especially can be so clunky. Like, it can be really difficult to use. Like, even if you tell someone to go on like to a DEX or something and hook up their wallet, like, it seems easy when you're used to it, but it is kind of quite intimidating. So it's interesting to hear like that. Yeah, you're kind of trying to get that non-crypto native people into it, and that it is like a focus on ease of use. And has this growth been like super quick, or what kind of timeline have you guys had?
I mean, for us, Web3, we just recently started. But for Web2 Zepeto, which is incubating us, they started like 4 years ago, and the yeah, it's been exponential growth for them. Yeah, pretty interesting, like to see them like grow super fast. I'm sure like the COVID, like also did a little bit of help, but still like yeah, very very fast.
Yeah, okay. So both of the Web 2 and the Web 3 side of things are both relatively new. And like regarding the climate now, so obviously this year it's shifted massively. Are you seeing like a drop off in volumes recently, or how's that been?
No, not really. Actually, it's been pretty steady and it's still increasing. So that's a pretty good sign that like it's pretty sustainable right now at this point. As I mentioned, the creators creating the digital assets inside the Web2 Zepeto are still increasing, and they're making money from there as well. And that's pretty simple too, like for the creators to do that, but it's not actually like too simple. These user groups coming into this digital world and metaverse, if they see these few benefits, probably one is like financial gains, and second can be like, you know, efficiency of like whatever they are trying to achieve, like they will figure the way out. It was so pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because I feel like almost every crypto out there, any company like related to crypto, he's seen a drop off in volumes this year. And like I know it's not like the same industry or whatever, but it's somewhat connected, and that the I remember that big Decentraland story with the Dapp Radar report that was misreported, but there was like a big furore about how few users it had compared to this time last year. So like are you surprised that there hasn't been a fall off in volumes?
I mean, yeah. I mean, we're expecting some like losses, but like I think it seems like fine. But although like I don't know, this is not an analogy, but I guess an example that I had with like my family actually recently. So we gathered up in a Starbucks, and I met my niece, and she was gathering all this like, you know, like menus for individuals, like my auntie and like, you know, my mom, and she wrote down all that on her phone, and she was gonna go order something, and it looked like she was super nervous like ordering. And I asked her, like, you know, hey, like, you know, like, have you never ordered in Starbucks? And she's like, oh, like, I never ordered in person, is what she said. I was like, what? Like, you know, the COVID's over, like, everything. And, like, why do you not, like, you know, order in person? And she's like, she thinks it's super dumb to wait in line. You know, she'd rather, you know, order in the app and do her own thing and grab her coffee and leave. And I was like, wow, like, it's a very different generation that I see. Like, it changed. And like, you know, their behavior didn't change even after COVID. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And I see the same way. I'm currently right now in Lisbon for a conference, and I come here, and wherever I travel, I see like the demographics waiting for the taxi, and this like our generation, like, you know, calling Uber or, you know, Grab, whatever, and don't wait in line and getting into cab. Like, I thought that was pretty interesting too. So like, I see this older generation waiting for the taxi. I wanted to teach them that. And probably my niece, like, probably felt the same way. And this kind of behavior, it's not changing, like, after the COVID. So I thought, like, whatever they're used to do, like, you know, surprisingly, I don't see, like, you know, huge fall off or a drop.
Yeah, that's an interesting analogy. I mean, she's probably right, to be honest. Like, waiting in line at Starbucks is probably the time.
I was pretty, that way. Yeah, dumb. Like, you know, she made me feel dumb. Like, you know, make me, waiting in line.
So, like, in relation, like, I guess the fallout from your point of view here, like, are you always going to focus on that younger generation? Or do you think, like, you're going to try pull older generations in? Or is it always going to be Gen Z?
I mean, for our Web3, Zepeto, obviously, like, you know, crypto native users will be our first target. And just because we are being incubated by Zepeto Web2, we can bring them here. And obviously, like, we would like to have those like Gen Z generations learn about, like, you know, crypto, and we'd like to, like, you know, guide them, like, you know, how to you know, transfer your digital assets and everything. So I think that can be our further later on goal, but currently we're definitely targeting, like, you know, our crypto native users first.
Yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, if you had to go beyond non-crypto, you think like Gen Z is probably first in line?
Just because we have some infrastructure ready, I think it would be a good target to start.
And like, what about competitors in the space? Like, are there a lot of competitors?
Like, what do you mean as a competitor in, like, you know, metaverse platform or or Web3 metaverse or?
Yeah, I guess so. Like, as in, who would you see as your biggest competitors, or is there just a total gap in the market here? Like, I know there's lots of like play to earn platforms that, like, within the metaverse space, there's loads of virtual worlds and whatnot, but obviously everything's so different and it's such an all encompassing term that it's kind of hard to sometimes pinpoint which competitors are against who, or whether there are competitors in certain spaces.
I mean, there are a lot of metaverse Web3 platforms out there already, like Sandbox, Decentraland. I guess, like, you know, we can call them competitors, but like, I feel like what we are building is a bit different too. And yeah, sorry, but like I have to say this, like, you know, we're not like, you know, starting from the scratch. Like we have a far greater technology on Avatar building from the Web 2. And like, obviously we have a technology and assets from the Web 2 that we can be able to utilize. Plus some, hopefully like, you know, the second target is bringing onboarding Web 2 users from Zepeto. So
yeah, that is really interesting when you say that, because that definitely is unusual when you see so many startups in this space and they're starting completely from scratch, and it can be so difficult at the start to, you know, like bootstrap yourself up with zero users or zero infrastructure. Like, is it that user base more than anything that you think, like trying to get those users over from the Web2 side of things that will help you or has helped you?
I mean, like, as I mentioned, like, you know, definitely our first target is crypto native users, but we would like to bring actually more of a creators from the Web2 side. So as I mentioned, there are like, you know, 1-2 million creator actually creating their digital assets on Web2, and like 3 million daily transaction volume just trading their like wearables and stuff like that. So, and there is like a fan base of these like creators. So they are becoming more like, you know, brand itself for them. So they're making like their wearables and like, you know, their fans like, yeah, bid to buy like, you know, those wearables. And once we bring those creators inside the Web3, not just so we create, help them create the digital assets, but they will also bring their fan base users. So we're trying to target the creators to actually onboard our Web3 and metaverse.
Yeah, let's talk about these creators for a second. Like, what kind of people are these? Like, what kind of fields are we talking here?
So, like, you know, I mean, I'll just give an example. So there's a girl called Lenji, and her actually dream was to become a fashion designer, and unfortunately, like, you know, the circumstances and her current situation didn't meet, so she couldn't actually become a fashion designer or go to school. But she found this metaverse platform that actually can make her achieve her goal. So she started creating, she became the designer herself in this creative metaverse, and started making her own wearables, and people loved it. And now, like, she's making good six figures. And as far as I know, she made even an incubation firm for creators. So she's actually incubating, like, you know, diverse groups of creators itself to make their digital essence, bringing, like, and helping them, like, grow their fan base. So it's a pretty interesting.
Sorry, Chris. I think the Wi-Fi just dropped there. Would you mind just going back to the start of that question? It dropped after you introduced her. Lenji, was it?
Yeah, Lenji. So, like, yeah, it's pretty interesting because can you hear me now though?
Yeah. Sorry, it cut out for that answer. I just heard you introduced her as Lenji, and then the line dropped.
Okay. Yeah, Lenji, and she actually wanted to become a fashion designer, but like her circumstances didn't meet, like her situation, and she couldn't be able to go to school and, you know, achieve her goal to become a actual fashion designer. But she found this metaverse platform and this creator's toolkit, and she started making her digital wearables, and she started getting the fans, and she started making good like six-figure salary a year. So she pretty much like pivoted, actually, like, you know, and achieved her like goal to become a fashion designer in metaverse platform. And now she has a company, an incubator company that actually incubates these old creators that creates digital assets. And she helps them, like, you know, obviously guiding like their like styles too, but not just that, but bringing all those like, you know, fans together and making it into a brand is what she's working on. And, you know, it is pretty interesting to see, like, you know, this metaverse fashion designers, and they're growing right now.
That's really cool. And I guess that's part of what people like not only say about the metaverse, but kind of cryptocurrency in general, is that it gives like it that new kind of accessibility, like those kind of people, you can just go do it. Well, one question I have just to stick on this example is like, so she wanted to be a fashion designer, but then like when she's going to create on your platform, does that not require like some element of, say, graphic design or like technical knowledge? Like, that's what I was kind of getting at earlier with the ease of use. Like, is it a different set of skills than would be for just a conventional fashion designer?
I mean, we are providing the creative toolkit, actually. I mean, Web2 is doing that right now. And for us, like, we're going to do that as well. And we're launching on our Avatar Builder, and like our wearable drops will be next Q1. And we made it pretty simple, but you know, definitely you have like, you know, can be a little bit similar skill set, but obviously a lot different because like you're not actually like, you know, making the real clothes or wearables. But you know, that sensitivity and the sense of you know, making a great design, I'm sure it has some similarities and so why.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and like, what other kind of backgrounds are, like, is fashion the predominant one, or you got artists, or like, what other kind of backgrounds are creators coming from here?
Actually, like, you know, that's a very good question, but it seemed really, like, super random. So anyone can be the creators, and I think it's one probably is just talent itself. Like, some people are just talented about, like, creating. And the second is people whomever are interested in like the fashion, like, you know, they just try it out. So, I mean, the demographic of this also can be pretty diverse. There can be a graphic designer, whomever's into a fashion, and people really stick with their avatars and they want like your avatars to look nice. So they sometimes become like themselves creating their digital assets. So I have to say it's super diverse. And okay. Not just that, but, like, you know, not just wearable devices, but like, you know, for example, like interior designers, like architects, you know, like developing their own, like, you know, land and also houses. So that also, like, you can actually be an actual interior designer, but people who just like have talent or been into this interior design can just start it out. So it's probably a gateway, I think, for people who ever had interest in this industry.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so it sounds like it's pretty all over the place. And so like going forward, one thing I'm always interested in, like, what is your vision for this metaverse? Like, do you think you guys can fit into like an all-encompassing metaverse, or do you think it will be like a walled garden? Will people have to like be on your platform and then there'll be another platform? Like, I guess very super vague question, but like, what is your long-term vision here of the metaverse and how you guys fit into it?
And I will have to say, like, all in one metaverse. We like to make like everything, like, you know, go on here. There can be a financial district. There can be a shopping district. And I call it district, and there can be multiple districts. But you know, people, it's pretty much like doing everything like here. Is what our vision and goal is. So it's giving like, you know, people to actually, you know, learn about like their financial of blockchain here. Testing out like their DeFi and also creating their digital assets and trading, doing their social thing, like playing games here. Just like, I want everything to like, you know, be happening in this like metaverse, and yeah, hope to achieve that goal.
Yeah, I hope so too. But regarding like, so when you were looking at like what blockchain to choose and whatnot, like how did you go into that?
You mean like choosing Web3 metaverse platform? Is that the question?
Yeah, you know, the way you've got like different projects launching different blockchains and their own blockchain. Yeah, so like what like when you were looking into building this thing, like how did you consider what way to go about it?
I mean, obviously, like we had to look for the ecosystem of the chain that we're going to use. We chose to go with Solana. Their transaction speed and like their ecosystem and everything really it worked out great. So we chose like Solana to work with, and right now actually I'm in Lisbon for Solana's Breakpoint conference.
Yeah, no, I was planning on being there myself, but unfortunately I couldn't, which I'm annoyed about. I'm stuck here in bad weather London, but yeah, like Solana, like I love using Solana as well, so I can fully see why you chose it. And like you say, like the transaction speeds and just the low gas fees are just like a dream to use, really, especially when you come across some Ethereum. But I guess everything is trade-offs, and the flip side of that is that kind of you know, people kind of criticize a little bit that it's been struggling with performance issues, and you know, there's been well-covered outages over the past year or two. Like, does that concern you at all, or like is it that big a deal if it goes down every now and then? I know it's different for like depending on what kind of project you're running. Like for you guys running a metaverse kind of virtual world, is that a big problem?
I see some problems like congestions and everything. Like we work like super closely with Solana. They're trying to like, you know, solve like, you know, these problems, and I see that. And yeah, I'm actually a pretty big advocate about Solana. But also, I mean, I can't say like I just don't worry, but I see them like them trying. And second is I mean later on with so everybody talks about multi-layer like later on. So it's just like you cannot just probably stay in Solana for probably ever. But it's a very good layer to start with. We have a strong partnership with them, and yeah.
Yeah, no, I can see definitely why you guys went with them, particularly at the start. And what about like, well, one thing that's in the press regarding Metaverse recently is Meta itself or Facebook. Like they obviously made a big push in, and like they've kind of struggled with it. You see their share prices falling, and now that they're laying people off. Like, do you think that these big centralized companies will ever impinge upon the space, or will it be all projects like you guys on Solana and this and other chains, or like, yeah, what kind of threat do they pose?
I'm actually ever since the Libra, I'm not so sure about like, you know, their path on the Web3, but I am sure, you know, I mean, come on, like they changed their name to Meta. So like they're obviously like, you know, working on this like metaverse. I don't know how they could come across like Web3, and I think it can be a super hurdle for them just like, you know, staying in a Web2. So I mean, like this blockchain technology and like this, yeah, crypto in general, like I think it super fits like metaverse platform. Like having true ownership of like your digital assets is one of the key aspect of being able to see yourself in metaverse. So
Yeah, it's kind of hard to figure out what they're trying to do, really. But I guess people have conflicting opinions on them. How long do you think like that this bear market will last, and like, do you really foresee like that you'll be able to kick up the next stage of your growth once the next bear cycle probably inevitably comes?
yeah, I mean, actually, I mean, it's good for us because it's a time to build for us, and we're expecting our launch to come next year, Q2. That'll be our MVP launch. So I think we have some time, but I mean, like this bear market, it's just like, you know, not just the crypto industry, every industry, and people are having a hard time. But definitely, it's a great opportunity for the builders, and it's an appropriate time to make things like work. Is my thought for builders, and the time, like I think a lot of people are sometimes very positive about, but I don't even I can't even like yeah I guess the time when the bull market is coming back, but it's gonna take some time, I think. Yeah.
I mean, that's the $1 million question, I guess. But yeah, it's an interesting point that you say. That's something I always hammer home as well, is that it's not just a bear market in crypto, it's a bear market in the wider economy. So, you know, you've got like way more variables to deal with here than at in previous cycles. Like, you know, you've got big ticket items like inflation and the Fed raising interest rates and stuff, and like the geopolitical climate's a mess. So it's just very difficult to predict. But yeah, like in terms of building, that's like if you look at all the big coins right now, or most of the big coins right now, a good chunk of them were developed and really advanced during previous bear markets. So it's interesting from that point of view. How tied to NFT volumes do you think you guys will be? Because there's obviously aspects of that in what you guys do. Are you like pretty contingent upon that side of things?
What do you mean, like, you know, NFT, like,
Yeah, so like and the NFT market is probably like even in crypto terms, like nothing's really old, but NFT market is particularly new. Like how tied like to NFT volumes, and like is it a good thing for you guys when NFTs are super popular and everybody's pouring into them? Like does that fuel metaverse games like ZTX and all these things, or like yeah, are you do you care at all about NFT the NFT side of things?
oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel like, you know, a lot of some NFT projects like are, you know, having a hard time because like it's hard to find the utility itself. But metaverse here, like wearables and digital assets, like and people, users in this metaverse platform wanting to self-express like themselves as an avatar, or whether it's like house, homes, or like, as I mentioned, interior design. I think that's more of a utility right now at this point, like, you know, that people are looking for, because they trade, and they want to buy these digital assets to show off like your avatars and self-express themselves into this metaverse platform. So I, yeah, definitely, like, you know, we're super contingent on this NFT market.
Interesting. Yeah. I guess that makes sense. And yeah, like, do you guys, so what else is going on in the space right now? Do you have any plans for the immediate future? Like you say, your launch obviously is in Q2, which I assume everything is focused on.
Yeah, I mean, we just revealed actually our light paper, and then we'll be actually launching our avatar builder and doing our web world drops next Q1. So if anyone that you guys can, like, you know, look into, like, you know, our past, and also our ZTX marketplace will be, our NFT marketplace will launch on our Q1 as well. And I can't say the exact date of our token launch, but it'll be probably a similar time as that. And our beta will be launching in mid next year sometime.
Sweet. Yeah, well, I'll throw links in the description for any listeners who want to check those out. But yeah, it sounds like you're pretty full steam ahead. So it's just head down and build until it's go time, is it?
Yep, exactly.
Cool. Interesting. Okay, and maybe just to close up, like, what would you say to someone who is thinking of, like, trying your platform out, maybe that hasn't really got into metaverse games so far, or virtual worlds, or anything of in that side of things? Like, what would you say to them?
So, obviously, like, you know, similar thing that I mentioned, like, I think there are reasons why these young Gen Z generations are spending a lot of time in the metaverse. I see that as, like, one, probably financial gains, and second is, like, time efficiency. And, like, a lot of people, not just, like, the COVID days, people still started, like, you know, using Zoom. People started using, like, GatherTown to work inside this metaverse platform. You just have to try it out, experience it, and then see, like, you know, why people are using it. Just like, you know, I mean, me helping my mom try to use Uber, and then now she doesn't have to wait in line at the airport to, you know, get the taxi. So I think it can be a pretty similar thing that we have to understand what these young generations are, like, going for.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'll put links, like I said, in the description if anyone does want to try it out or read up more on it. But yeah, thanks for joining us, Chris.
No, thank you for your time.